Amen. You may be seated at this time. I want to invite the children to be dismissed to junior church. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be focusing on verse 28 today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. It's a verse that says a lot in one sentence. So let's read that. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. There was a paper given to the American Psychological Association symposium on employee theft. And they presented a breakdown on $8 billion that inventory shortages cost department and chain stores every year. I'm sure it's more than that now. Of these losses, 10% was due to the clerical error, 30% to shoplifting, and a shocking 60%, that's about $16 million a day, to theft by employees. We are now more than ever living in a culture that believes that it is all about me, and I can go and I can take whatever I want at anyone else's expense at any time to fulfill my desires and my needs. That's a nice purse there. She's like, I know he's going to take it. I'm going to take his hands off of it. And yeah. Oh, my goodness. I think I struck gold here. Lead. Terry has been painting the lead gold colored paint for all these years. Here, she didn't even know it. But we have, this is where the Greek word klepto, we call kleptomaniacs, people that have sticky fingers. And we say, you know what, I don't have a problem with stealing. You know, I feel convicted when I go to the store or when I even take a pen from the bank. Now, there are some of us that don't care if we take the pens from the bank. But then there's some of us, if we feel guilty, like we have to drive all the way back to the bank. Is there any of those good, honest people in here that you take a penny back to the store if they gave you 1 cent too much at Walmart checkout? That's good. But let's look at what stealing really is. Because as we go through this definition, and I'll tell you, I was woken up really early in the morning at a time I don't normally get up, and I just had all these things coming. The Lord just gave me all these things about this whole issue and this whole topic. And as I studied the word, it makes sense. But let's look at the definition first. But it's a commit a theft to take away by stealth. Now, there's no one that really usually takes things in broad daylight, right? If you're going to take something from your mom and dad, and when I was growing up, my dad always would say, look over there and then take our dinner plate and hide it. Or something like that. And then you got used to it and you would hang on to your dinner plate. Dad would say, look over there. And you say, I'm not looking over there. You want to guard that dinner with your life or it'll end up somewhere else. Stealing is taking things or money that do not belong to us. Or doing nothing so that others have to take care of us when we are capable of taking care of ourselves. So let me read that again. It's taking things or money that don't belong to us or doing nothing so others have to take care of us when we are capable of caring for ourselves. Now, I want to call stealing shortcuts. And this is what the Lord woke me up to about this whole idea of shortcuts. Stealing is taking a shortcut to wrongfully and prematurely get what I want to fulfill my own selfish desires. You got that? It's taking a shortcut to get what I want to fulfill my own selfish desires. It's disobeying God's word and the plan he's laid out for me in order to live a balanced and healthy life. Stealing is when I devalue a person or thing and fail to see that person or thing as belonging to God. The result of my selfish shortcut is that I am unwilling to obey God and put the necessary work into preparing myself for that person or thing. I failed to see people or things as belonging to God, and I instead see them as objects to use for my own personal benefit whenever I please. It is an extreme form of ingratitude to take sinful shortcuts to get what I want. It robs God of His glory. The thief inevitably becomes someone who develops an attitude and a lifestyle of entitlement and laziness. Now, we think in terms of jobs and money mainly on this, but I want to talk about relationships as well today. Because we rob God and others all the time, and we steal from them, and we're going to talk about what that means. So what are the ways that we steal? There's three people that we steal from: ourselves, others, and God. Now think about that for a moment. Not only do we rob God, but we steal from others in all kinds of different ways. And when Paul is writing this text, he's saying, you're Christians now. Things have to be different in your life than the life you used to live. So he's saying there's a contrast here. Before, you had sticky fingers. Sticky finger Sam, you were called, right? Now he says you're Christian, and this has got to change. Now, if you notice, as we go through these things that the Bible tells us to take off and to put on, take off our old clothes and put on. These are the Ten Commandments, basically. What does it say? You shall not steal is one of the Ten Commandments. But there's all kinds of ways we steal from God. We can point our fingers at someone who robs the store or robs your car to get drug money. And, you know, we get upset and how dare they steal our stuff. But there's all kinds of ways we can steal. How about stealing from God? And I want you to challenge you to think about your relationship with God. Where are you at with God right now in your relationship with Him? We steal from God when we fail to live our lives for His glory. And I remember, I don't know, in Joys and Concerns, somebody had mentioned something. Oh, I think it was Christy. She said, I don't work for my boss. I work for God, who has a much higher standard. You didn't know that was going to go along with the sermon today. When God's Spirit moves among you, when you share your psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it leads up to what God has prepared for us. So we rob from God when we fail to worship Him, when we fail to give Him the glory. We steal from God when we fail to pursue His kingdom or His interests. If our lifestyle and our interest, if we say we're Christian, and if our lifestyle and interest is anything but following Jesus Christ, then really I would question if we're really a Christian or not. And I want to challenge you today. He says what our brother read out of the scripture passage, Romans 10, 9 and 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's a promise if you really believe that. But I will tell you, if you really believe that, what Paul is arguing here is he says there's going to be a difference. You used to steal, now you're going to no longer steal. So there's all different ways. We rob God, we steal from God when we disobey Him, and we don't honor Him with our lives. Now, how many of you have ever read parts of the Bible and you kind of skipped over and said, well, I'm just going to go to the Psalms today because it was something that you did not want to deal with in your life? I have. And I'm sure we all do it kind of subtly. Sometimes it's a little more subtle. We just kind of breeze over things and we ignore. Well, that's a good verse for my wife to read. She needs to get that right. Or that's a good verse for brother so-and-so in church who has a problem with anger to read. And we kind of breeze over and say, God's saying, wait a minute, you have a problem of anger. It's more subtle. It's more deceptive. And so when we rob God is when we disobey and we don't honor Him with our lives. We breeze over the things that He's trying to tell us to grow us. And we steal from God when we don't share His love with other people. How many have been in a position, and you don't have to raise your hands, but you've been in a position where you knew that you were supposed to help somebody, but there was pizza waiting somewhere for you, or you had to go to a friend, especially when you're a teenager, you had to go to a friend's house, and that was more important. And then how dare I, you know, dad's going to stop. Got to get me to my friends. There's somebody who needs help on the side of the road. And you go by that person, and then you're guilty all day, and you're like, oh, I should have stopped. But when God nudges us to share His love with somebody around us, and we don't, that's stealing from God. You know why? Because everything that God created on this earth belongs to Him. Every person belongs to Him. It is all His. And when we take what God doesn't give us, when we prematurely make those decisions to take shortcuts in our relationships with others, we're robbing from God. Now, let's talk about different ways we steal from others. Now, I had shared this before. I remember when I worked in different places, I worked at a place called Menards, and I hope I'm not repeating the story. Did I already tell the Menards story? Raise your hand if I have. Well, you're good. It's good that you all have memory loss, because I know I've shared it. Tanya will say, you did. She'll remember it. She has a memory that, I mean, last year on Thursday in July, we were doing this. I mean, she's an amazing memory. And that's what keeps us together. I mean, it's things together in our lives, you know, is her memory, because I definitely don't remember. But anyways, people would walk around, and I worked in the cabinets department and the refrigerators and the appliances and all that kind of stuff. And they would walk around carrying papers, pretending like they're doing something, you know, and then walk back and forth. Man, the day is so long, I can't get by. And here I am. I like to work, so, well, not all the time, Tanya will tell you, but I do when I'm at a job. It's like, not when you're at home, you're supposed to. I just got to be honest or real or I get in trouble later, so, you know. I would work, and the day would go by so fast. I was up there on those things, pulling those cabinets down and doing all the things. And these people are walking around shuffling papers. You know what they were doing? They were stealing from the company. So that's a way we steal from our employers, and we don't give our best work, and we waste their time. So that's one way that we rob those that we work. Now, how many have great bosses? Very few of us. How many say, you know what, I would just rather wish that I was the boss or that someone else would replace them? I mean, it's okay to be honest about that. But, you know, God has put you in that job, in that position, whether they're mean or they're bad or not, they hired you, and you rob from them when you don't give them your best. As bad as your work conditions might be, as evil as your boss might be, as negative and the bad things that they might say about you, we're working for God. And so when we work for God, we do our best for His glory. You know, when you're doing your chores at home, young people, do you all have chores at home? Yeah. Do you like all your chores? Okay, well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad that you like them. Now, when I was a kid, there's certain ones that we liked, and there's four of us in the family, so we had a rotating schedule of the things that we had to do, but when it was my day, there were certain jobs I didn't like to do. I can't remember if it was doing the dishwasher or vacuum, but one of those, you know, I would always say, you know, would you trade with me, you know, and then I would get in trouble for trading because I wasn't supposed to trade because the younger siblings, I was the oldest, I could trick them sometimes. You know, make promises. I'll do this for you if you don't. But kids, young people, teenagers, do your best, because you're not just doing it for your parents. You're doing it for God's glory. And when you don't do your part in the home, you're stealing from your parents. You never thought about it that way, did you? Because who buys your shoes? Now, thank God that none of you came in here naked today, because your parents have bought clothes and food, and none of you are scrawny. Your ribs aren't going in like this, because your parents have provided you some. So, you know, that little chore that you do, that really doesn't compare to anything that what your parents will do and what they provide for you in their life, in your lifetime. Now, I remember, you know, there's a Bill Cosby episode where Bill Cosby totals up the whole sum of, well, so many years of room and board and so many years. It's thousands of dollars by the time it comes up. So when you don't do your chore, you're robbing from your parents. So we rob in that way. We steal from others by overcharging for what we make for the services we render. So for those of you that own businesses or are in businesses, and if you're overcharging people, if you know that you can get away with it and you're sticking it to people that are struggling, making a huge amount of money, and that's probably one of the biggest problems that we have in America is greed. And that's why a lot of us are struggling, because there's only one person up top that's making a lot of money and everybody else isn't. So that's a way of stealing. It's a way of stealing from the economy. We steal from others by overcharging for what we make and service around. We steal if we sell an inferior product pretending it is better than it is. You know, I know I always tease John because he's a used car salesman. And he won't do you wrong. He won't tell you that it's something better than it really is. I can say that. I'm trying to redeem myself again this week. But when you go to places, or when you're in business for yourself, if you tell somebody it's something, it's not, or you go to sell something on Craigslist and you say, oh yeah, it works, it worked for me yesterday, and you know that it's about to die, or the engine, that's stealing from that person that you're selling it to. You know, I don't know, I hear story after story about this guy and this girl, or she said that she was a Christian, and then look what they did. They sold me this. And then there's all these people that say, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not giving my life to Christ because, look, it doesn't make a difference in their life. That's why Paul says stealing. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in culture. It's a big deal how we do business. We steal from others by damaging their reputation through gossip and slander. So if I were to go and say, Tanya, did you see the way Steve's face looked this morning? Or did you see what he did? I thought, I don't know, I just had eye surgery and my eyes were dilated, but I thought I saw him in the store buying some things that he shouldn't have bought. I think. And then she goes and tells you, and pretty soon it becomes this big story. I've robbed Steve of his dignity. I've stolen from him. I've robbed his emotions. I took something from him that is not mine. We steal from others when we abuse people physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And guys, I want to especially say this is a problem that we deal with all around. Where you talk negatively or criticize your wife's, that's verbal abuse. You're stealing from them. You hit your wife's or push them or move them along like they shouldn't be moved along, that's stealing. It's sin, and it's not a behavior of a believer or a Christian. So don't think that you can abuse your spouse, your family members, your kids, your parents, and think that that's a trait of a Christian as long as nobody knows about it. It's stealing. It's robbing people of their dignity and their life. We steal from others when we use others as objects to meet our needs or wants. Now, I want to share with you something that's real close to home for my heart, but I think you will all connect in some way. When we grow up, we all have bad things that happen to us. We don't always have the perfect mother or the perfect father or the perfect home life. And we might feel like we're missing something in our lives. And you know what that does? That causes us to develop some unhealthy behaviors in our life where we use others to fill that void in our life. Are you with me? So we use others to fill that void in our life. Instead of getting healing and bringing it to God, we befriend people for what we can get out of them and how they can fill that void that we've missed out on our life because we didn't have dad or mom or so-and-so took this from us when we were kids. It's stealing. It's a form of stealing. And God says, I'd rather have you healed. I'd rather have you come to me to have your needs met so then you can act and have healthy relationships with those around you. We steal from others when we disobey God's plan for marriage, engaging in sex outside of marriage and having unhealthy relationships, using others to meet my needs to feel secure. And here's where it goes back to jumping the gun on relationships. Now, this is a funny, you might laugh at the funny problem that I have just with regular relationships, is that I will meet somebody, and if I like you, I want you to be my best friend that day. It doesn't work that way. I've messed up a lot of friendships because of that. I like you, so you're going to be my best. We're going to go, Gavin, we're going to go do this, and we're going to go, you are my potato chip. And Grissom says, wait a minute, I don't even know who you are, and I don't know what I'm getting into. When we have needs for security to be met, so we skip God's plan for marriage and healthy relationships, we're saying, you know what, I just want to fulfill my needs, and so I'm stealing from another person. Stealing from my boyfriend or girlfriend, if you're in a relationship. Real friendship takes time and proper work to put into it. Now, to use Rob as an example again, God had some things that he had to work out in his life, and I thank God, and Courtney still thanks God every day, that Rob said, wait a minute, we're not going to rush into this marriage thing. I got to work on some things in my life. I got to put the brakes on, and I'm going to take some time into growing my relationship with Jesus and make things right before I get married. That's great. That was commendable, and it was hard. It was painful, wasn't it, Rob? It was a struggle. It was like I felt like I was doing the wrong thing, right? But the end result was good. Because he decided not to steal and take a shortcut to get what God's plan, and he put the necessary work and effort in relationship that he needed to. Now, how about stealing from ourselves? Say, well, I don't steal things from myself, you know. It's like me saying, you know, this is my Bible. You know, I'm going to take my Bible for myself. You say, that could be an absurd sort of a deal. We steal from ourselves when we waste the time and talent and resources that God has entrusted us. What has God blessed you with? What talents has God given you that you're not using for His kingdom? You're robbing yourself and you're robbing God of His glory if you sit on your hands. Some of us, God is blessed with great people skills, business skills, money skills, musician skills, art skills, teaching skills. Use it for God's glory. We rob ourselves when we just sit and bury that talent. We steal from ourselves when we think or talk negatively about ourselves while failing to see that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I have a long history of this. We steal from ourselves when we have a bad view of ourselves. When God says, you're my son, you're my daughter. We steal from ourselves when we don't take the time to invest in our spiritual growth. And if you're not taking time to get involved in your devotions and being involved in a Bible study at church to really get to know. I'm not talking about the surface things of the Word. I'm talking about really digging into the Word of God. You're robbing yourself of something great. You're stealing. Because God saved us for spiritual growth. God saved us for blessing. And we steal from ourselves when we don't invest time and work to develop those healthy relationships. For those of us that have taken time, some of our best friends are the people that have taken a lifetime to build. If you think about that, some of you, the closest people in your life, it's taken years and years and years. But it's worth it. Don't rob yourself and take the shortcut, because that's what we call unhealthy relationships. We have relationships where we rob from others, or we are too dependent on somebody, or we become people pleasers and we just want to make everybody happy around us when we don't take the time to build. So what are the signs of someone who has a lifestyle of stealing? One, they're not very thankful. Now, I think of when I was a teenager, I thought that my mom and dad owed me, you know, I when you get those teenage years and say, I want a car because everybody else has a car. You know, dad has to get me a car. Dad has to pay for the gas. You know, dad has to do this. Mom has to do that. And pretty soon, you become an ungrateful person. You're not thankful that you have a soft bed to sleep in. Because some kids sleep on the dirt and have one little piece of bread per week. See, it's ingratitude. And we have this attitude that comes about us that it doesn't matter. I'm not thankful. I'm not appreciative of the things God has given me. All you have to do is in this room today is look around and be thankful for all the wonderful brothers and sisters here that we have to help each other grow. But when we have a lifestyle of stealing, if you're here to get from somebody, and it's okay. Relationships are give and take, but if that's your motive and you're not willing to give and stealing, they only look out for themselves and are oblivious to the needs of those around them. They have a strong attitude of entitlement. They believe their parents, the government, and the world owe them a free living. They are takers and rarely give. They're lazy and do whatever it takes to get things from others without having to make any effort. They have one-sided relationships or friendships. They're your friend as long as you benefit them in some ways, and they're definitely not self-starters. These are people who want to have friends with benefits, but not the communication, not the commitment that goes along with it. Those are the signs of someone who has a lifestyle of stealing. So what is the cure? And thank God he's provided us a cure, and ultimately it's believing in Jesus Christ. But he gives us the answer in the end of verse 28. He says, let him steal, the thief no longer steal, but let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Number one, develop a work ethic. God created us with the need to work. And he used some interesting words. He uses the word labor there, and he uses the word work there. Laboring means to work hard, to grow weary, tired, and exhausted. Now, I think of when I was younger and I was doing a chore that I really didn't want to do. It was kind of like, Dad says, go pick up these papers over here. And it's kind of like I'm playing a video game or I'm doing something and I kind of just sit. And Dad said, I thought I told you to pick up the papers. I am picking up the papers. Sam, you're laughing, right? How many times have you done that at home? Look at your dad shake his head. Now, here's the cure. If you want to develop a good work ethic, if you want to grow up and have God's blessing in your life, he says to work to the point of toil or being tired and exhausted. There's nothing better than a good, hard, long day's work. I'm not sleeping at night. I have all these problems in my life. Well, probably you need to work. You need to do some stuff. Help your parents around the house. Be useful. He says labor, and then he uses the word working, and that word working means to be engaged in a task or occupation, to produce or make something. In other words, I would call this being a productive member of society. We all hear that term, right? Being a productive member of society. We look at things that people have and we say, you know, I wish I could have that. It comes with hard work. Now, I could use my dear wife as an example because she looks around and came from the Ukraine, which was definitely in a lot different place economically than we are here. And she says, I don't understand it. Anybody can come here, work, get a job, and slowly save their money and have a good living. Now, it may not be wealthy like it used to be back in the 80s and 90s when interest rates were 10% and that sort of thing, but we have lots of food. Even on minimum wage, we can eat lots of food. There's lots of government help, too, when we're struggling. There's so many things that God has blessed us with. but it requires getting a task or an occupation. Now, kids, when you start to grow up, the temptation is going to be, I want to be the president of the company. It starts by flipping burgers at McDonald's. Well, not hopefully not McDonald's. You know what I mean. What you don't imagine yourself doing, that's the first step. Because it's someone that's willing to work hard and say, I'm not working for McDonald's, I'm working for God. You know, I have people come to me and they say, you know, I don't have a job, we're getting in debt, and my house is being sold. And they say, well, here's this job and this job. But that job doesn't pay well enough. Well, do it while you can until you get a job that pays. Now, here's where we're going to struggle. Work honestly. He says in those scriptures, honest work with his own hands. There are no shortcuts. Can't use and take advantage of other people. And then he says, work with your own hands. And if you're capable, others should not have to constantly provide and take care of you. Now, when you get older, you have physical issues and things like that. Here's a time where you gracefully have to allow people to take care of you. I'm not saying that at all, because there's an age. You put your time in, you put your work in, you've saved your money so that you can retire, right? And you might need other people to help you. But if you're capable, if you can walk, if you can breathe, if you can move your hands, you can work. The last and the most important thing today is saying, am I telling you this so that we can all meet the American dream and become rich? Or I can have that Jeep, or I can have that truck, or I can have that snowmobile, or I can have that house, or I can give my kids the best shoes and the clothes. This is not going to work unless we have the last important ingredient is to work with the right motive. And here's why we work. Here is why God says don't steal, so that we can share with those in need. Because the world's motive is I'm work because it builds my self-esteem. I got a career and people think that I'm important and I can go with my business suit and I can walk in and do the power walk, you know. And I feel important and fulfilled and I'm this and I am man. Or if you're a woman, I am woman. Watch me roar. That's why the world works. But Christians work because I want to share with those in need. I want to bless people's lives that have a real need. I want to honor Jesus Christ. The world's motive is being able to buy things so that I can live a comfortable, good, enjoyable life. I'm going to work hard, and some people work themselves to death, and they don't have time for friendships and relationships. Why? Because they're pursuing, they want to have the latest iPhone, they want to have the biggest TV. You know, when I go to Best Buy, I drool over several things, but may not get those things. You know why? Because those things will burn up. But there's people's lives that need shared with. I need to share and help other people. So the Christian's motive is to give God the glory. See, where it was self-esteem, the Christian, it is Christ's esteem. It's given him the honor and the glory. It's to have something to share with those that have a legitimate need. And when I think of people like that, I think of my grandparents. Some might call my grandfather a miser, and I'm going to probably shoot myself in the leg because I've called my own wife a miser and things like that. Because she saves money. But I'm going to be thankful one day. I will be, even though right now I'm not. I'm a growth in progress here. But think about this. My grandparents, my grandpa worked all those hours at Post Cereal in Battle Creek, Michigan. And I have his lunchbox to remind me, sitting on my, it's an old metal lunchbox on my refrigerator in the kitchen to remind me. He worked so hard, not so that he can gather a lot of things, and he does enjoy things. I mean, he trades his trucks in every year, and he enjoys cars and vehicles. But he can do that. You know why? Because he saved his money. And he also gives generously to others. He gives to the church. He's even been taken advantage of, giving to people in need, giving them a rent and trailer. I wouldn't be standing here today probably because he's helped me through Bible college in some extents, or those car loans to get started, you know, and you can pay me back as you go, that sort of thing. He's generous. He saved to share. And then I think of others who have not, that spend everything they get at the moment. They don't have anything to give to people. And you're robbing yourself of the joy. There's nothing greater than to have extra money and a brother or sister comes up and says, does this happen in my life and I don't have the money to pay for it? And I can say, here you go, because I didn't spend it on that TV that I thought I should have. There's nothing greater than to share and to give God the glory. That's the cure for stealing. Father God, I just thank you so much for your work in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, I can see in many areas of in my life and in my past where I have stolen from others to meet my needs. Lord, forgive us. God, I just pray that we would not become busybodies or people that work ourselves to death while not taking the Sabbath or not taking time for church or relationships, but that we work hard those 5 or 6 days a week so that we might share generously for your kingdom's sake, that we might see souls saved, that we might see people healed, that we might see people set free from drug addictions, that we might see people healed from abusive situations. God, give us that work ethic. Give us that self-control that we might do all to your glory and honor. And I just want to invite you just to take a few moments on your own right now as we spend time with God. What is it out of this message that God has spoke to you today? What is it that he wants you to repent of? What is it does he want you to seek help in? And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never had a born-again experience, I just invite you right now to say, yes, Jesus, I believe you died in my place for my sins, and you rose again. I put my trust in you. You can do that at any time. It says in the Word, to many as have received him, he gave the right to become his sons and daughters. Lord, we love you so much. You've been so generous and so kind towards us. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless every person that's here and that you'd strengthen us to obey you and follow your word no matter where we go and what circumstances we're in. Father, I pray that you give us the will to stand up and make these changes, that your Spirit's convicted each and every one of us. Might be something different. Might be something totally that wasn't even mentioned today. But your Spirit convicted. Lord, we give that thing to you and we ask that you give us the power to take the action, to stop, to change, to move, to do whatever you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.